Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, session number 9. Have you checked it out on the satanic calendar this week? The ritual dates. We're right now in the middle of July, towards the end of it, actually. July 25th, St. James Day. Prior to that was Demon Revels. But on the 27th, and actually through the entire week leading up to the 27th, it's considered preparation and preparation rituals, abducting individuals for the human sacrifice and holding them. On the 27th, grand climax, it is involving human sacrifice, whether child or adult. Anybody can check that out on the ritual calendar, the Satanic SRA ritual calendar. We're dealing here in Session 9 with the concept of an inverted, counterfeit, satanic Pentecost. Now, obviously, if you've been listening to things that we've been talking about and have looked at the book or heard the information on the Black Awakening, then you understand that the principle that we're talking about is the chaos, the collapse, the anarchy, plotted and planned and developed. It doesn't come out of a vacuum. It doesn't come out of nowhere. This is not a random event. This is something planned, plotted. Psalm 2 is all about that development. And everything we read in prophetic revelation concerning the dark side involves that. Jesus in Matthew 24 talks about the end of days. In his references to how violent and catastrophic they will become, it all begins with, "Let no one deceive you." It is all about a spiritual rise of power and presence. It involves a spiritual buildup that eventually demonstrates itself with individuals guided by the dark presence, demons, that will speak contrary, offer something contrary, and they would be present for one reason. To bring nothing but deceit. So as we get into this tonight, we're going to see, as many around the world, by the billions now, are feeling it in the air, feeling the sense of coming chaos, a catastrophic collapse, the impending hell on earth scenario. Will it involve nations unleashing a little bit of warfare? Yes. Will it involve earth volcanoes and earthquakes and other things that would be disruptive and harmful? Well, I believe so, yes. Will it involve a kind of shock and all, bats out of hell type of event? Well, yes, as we get into this tonight, we will show some of the reasons why on a biblical scale. Now, I can tell you about the undergrounders. I can give you that information. The book, The Black Awakening, has been written to bring out that information. And that content is simply not in any other book yet. And that has been 25 years of research, kind of going into Jericho, going into the other side as far as we could to see what it is they are plotting and planning. Now, as we go through this, you're going to see Dark Rituals and Dark Powers is a series, vitally important, I think maybe one of the most important, because it does bring revelation to what is behind the development of massive alternative spirituality, the rise of Satanism, the rise of radical evil, the rise of demonic possession, voices in the head, visitations, and, all kinds of incredible supernatural encounters, engagements, experiences, and events. Where's it all coming from? We all realize that it's here as never before in human history. And supernaturalism can be from the hand of God, the grace, the mercy, the love, incredible. What we need for salvation, healing, deliverance, ultimately glorification. But on the other side, it will involve sheer deceit and seduction and stealing of souls. And so let me say in the very beginning that it does burn my britches to see deceit, to see lies, to see spiritual deceit being not only received, But then once received, promoted by the individuals, and all of that was prophesied by the Spirit of God in Timothy 4:1. When the Spirit expressly, in an outspoken way, declared that in the end of days, that planos spirits, seducing, deceiving imposters, that they would come. There would be a great buildup. There would be a release of deceit and encounter and experience. The goal, read the scripture there, to deceive many. Jesus speaks about this in Matthew 24, that false prophecies and those that would come in his name, that they also would come to deceive many. Well, as we've been going over dark rituals, dark powers, we are in session 9. And even if you look on the ritual calendar this week, you do see the preparations, the building up. And if you look over all of it on the entire year, you're only seeing some of the known rituals that are being done. I've been on ritual sites. I have felt the sheer pulse of darkness. I've been on those areas where blood has been shed. I watched the other day as individuals, researchers and book authors and well-known individuals sitting on the temple stairs of the Mayan ruins, talking about the spiritual evolution, the spiritual nature of the Mayans, the prophecy of the Mayans, and their declaration that there would be a chaos. But after that chaos, there would be some type of new age, new dawn. And so I'm going to tell you now that the Mayan prophecies that are being dug up and written about and spoken about, I believe were planned spiritually to be found, orchestrated spiritually to be found, and eventually disseminated to add to the deceit of two things: the promise of humanity's spiritual evolution and a declaration of a chaos in their view that would be needed, a cleansing, which would involve millions of deaths and massive anarchy and terrible harm. But as with the alienologists and other occult streams like Alice Bailey, their declaration is that it's needed, that we've got to have this cleansing, that it's okay that millions and millions and millions die for the sake of a new coming age of a, whatever you want to call it, Aquarius. But the researchers and book authors, as they were speaking in this documentary, I thought it was ironic. They're sitting on the very temple stairs where the blood would have been shed. They're on blood-soaked ground. They're on the grounds where territorially powerful demonic gods, most likely Nephilim, roamed and were worshipped and were doing the leading of the vast human sacrifice. So listen, as others are going to come out with dozens of books and books and books on the Mayan prophecies, their spirituality, I'm reading two brand new ones right now, two more in waiting, three more documentaries to watch. And as I look at all of it, especially the ones that already have the precursors of New Age type spirits, they are falling prey to broader deception to where they're proclaiming the Mayan prophecies, the most spiritually advanced, the most powerful insight of a predictive future. And it's incredible the worship, the dedication that is basically given to what amounts to prophecies written by demonic presence that have manifested based on human sacrifice. The Mayans of old were a bloodthirsting, spiritually deceived into, you know, people, slaying thousands and thousands of humans and shedding their blood and ripping their guts out and burning them and letting their heads roll down those stairs. So on those highly demonized grounds, most likely with a kind of Nephilim architecture to the temples. And astroarchaeology, a connection into the spiritual realm of the heavenlies. One of the most deeply, truly satanic places that eventually God shut down. There was a transformation of humanity, a vast, destruction of humanity. This was their life week after week after week after week there among the Mayans. And most are not speaking that. They're not talking about the horrific thousands upon thousands upon thousands, men, women, and children in human sacrifice. As I've said in the series, human sacrifice, among all other doorways, all other gateways, becomes really one of the most powerful ways of opening the spiritual doors for the demonic side on that side to manifest into this side. And so I've brought out in the series the concept of, in satanic ritual abuse, 500 million satanic rituals in the United States alone in the last 40 or so years. We have we can double, triple, quadruple that across Europe into Russia. And the reason that we're bringing it out is this: one single premise. There is not one iota of advance to the satanic agenda without the manifested, pulsating, active power that is needed. Now, as we talk about this session 9, the inverted counterfeit satanic Pentecost, it's all wrapped up in the great chaos, the great revolt, the great anarchy, the great catastrophic hell on earth event of the Red Horse. Well, it's prophesied and taught about in Scripture, but let's make it very clear. Many of the occult streams, definitely New Age, and even in and among the alienologists, there are, not just projections, but predictions and prophecy and declarations. Books written about this. The Externalization of the Hierarchy is one by Alice Bailey, where, again, one of these massive ascended masters, demonic ascended masters, has dictated this factor in the future. Even the Masons, Albert Pike, and others. Now, we even have the technological side of research, consuming research worldwide, that is saying, yes, chaos is coming, an incredible anarchy, an incredible collapse, and many of you listening to me now have heard many others that we've been associated with talk about being prepared and having yourself ready at the end of those days. And I believe, based on biblical revelation and the prophetic scripture and the timetable right now, that we should be prepared. As believers in Christ, bold as lions, knowing the presence, power of God, being very, very strong in prayer and in witness and in standing in our testimony. We're going to need to do that and realize that, again, greater is the one that dwells in us than the demonic presence, no matter how much it manifests. So if you've been listening to the other materials in conjunction with this, then Revelation 13 does play a part. Revelation 6 and the Four Horsemen, this prophetic drama that God gives to communicate these massive sequential events, the unprecedented unleashing of counterfeit spirituality, the spirit of Antichrist, the birth of Antichrist, then eventually the powers that back the great chaos, the rise of Antichrist. Well, that's the white horse. The red Pyros, fiery horse, the event of instantly taking all the peace from the earth and what that causes. We're going to look into that concerning this subject matter tonight. We've taken a look again at the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we have this incredible picture, the day of Pentecost. As a matter of fact, if you read chapter 2 in the book of Acts, and even if you're a quester, a seeker, maybe you're a Luciferian listening, many of you do, and you are reconning the show, fine. Maybe there are those that are questing and looking for an answer, or there are remote viewers and psychics. By God's providence, you've been drawn in. There is a higher presence power that, based on God's love, is drawing you and summoning you to the living Christ. There are dark powers masqueraded as light that clearly are dark, you know, leading you into a light where, listen, it's really nothing more than the oncoming truck. And so many millions now are mesmerized by a counterfeit spiritual presence. That presence, with its corresponding development of the largest spiritual movement in Christian history, the New Age movement, worldwide by the hundreds of millions. The secret societies, the development of covens and cults, and the rise of Satanism, and the deep undergrounders, the shadow government, shadow military, and all that's been developed, the books, the literatures, the untold amount of spiritual practices that open the door to the spirits who seek not only the attention of humanity, but the possession for the sake of use and promoting an agenda. If you don't understand the biblical revelation of the satanic agenda, let me tell you something. Biblical prophetic revelation is the only place you will find this razor sharp revelation of the real satanic dark and radically evil, not only origin, presence, nature, the way it works, but the agenda that they're seeking to accomplish. Out of the atmosphere around us, on the ground, underground, the development of rituals. For anybody who's biblically inclined, well, we can go back in Scripture. We can also go forward to what is considered the mother of all ritual warfare, or ritual release of demonic presence with assignment targeting individuals that leads the globe to Armageddon. Let me say this now so you'll understand how powerful, outside of the freedom and power and authority in Christ, this all becomes. There is no Armageddon without the sheer sent, directing, manifesting, supernaturally imposing power, presence of dark spirits. It will not happen otherwise. Revelation 16 makes that clear, and I'll mention that a number of times. And that, my friend, is a picture of a future ritualistic release of demonic spirits sent on assignment, a planetary wave of sheer dark power, supernatural, miraculous power that will draw the world's elite leaders, military leaders, and super military system to the field of, yes, Armageddon. Now, when you read Psalm, Acts chapter 2, you're going to find Psalms in there. You're going to find the book of Psalms quoted. You're going to find Joel quoted. As a matter of fact, chapter 2 in the book of Acts, it's an incredible chapter. It's a chapter that involves the, what Peter does when the power of the Spirit of God is poured out on the 120 believers waiting. As they were told earlier by Jesus to go wait till the promise of the Father. The backdrop, look at Luke's gospel, the last chapter. The promise by Jesus Christ of power. Dunamis, the felt manifested power of God the Holy Spirit, would fall on the believers. And that would be an event prophesied out of Joel. It would be the power to come on the believers in Christ to fuel the agenda of God, to fuel the mission of God. Only by this power could believers in Christ help win the world and do the ministry. Even Jesus himself, prior to launching ministry, based on a 700-year-old prophecy out of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord will be upon me. He was anointed to bring his life and mission and message, Messiah. Now, we as believers in Christ are also to be clothed with the same power of God the Holy Spirit and filled. I mean, it's a unmistakable reality, experience. You can't just say, I'm filled with the Spirit and have no demonstrative effect. Look at all the Spirit-filled people in the book of Acts. They knew they were. They were in mission. They were winning the world. They were powerful in prayer. They literally couldn't be stopped. Because as they opened their lives, yielded their lives, and continued to walk in obedience, the power of God the Holy Spirit manifest in and on them and through them in literally to this very day. To this very day, no one can hear the gospel or be saved without some believer, someone who has already been born of the Spirit of God and guided by the Spirit of God to bring that message out. And thank God there are millions and millions of believers that are doing that worldwide. Thank God that the door is open for even this format. As we have seen people saved, many believers turn back in fullness to Christ. And if you're a believer in Jesus, it is vital you understand the prophecy of Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Jesus said in the chapter just before this, that when that day comes, when power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. In this chapter, it goes on to give the picture and the quotation out of Joel. As a matter of fact, when the power of the Spirit of God comes, with all of the other sign wonder, all that occurs with it, the primary manifestation and event that occurs is when Peter stands up, verse 22, crying out by the power of the Holy Spirit on him, men of Israel, listen to this. Now, he speaks to them and says very clearly, this is that, in reference to the power of the Spirit of God coming on believers. Some were amazed and perplexed. I mean, when you go back and you look at this, you can see in verse 16, when Peter says, no, this is what, or this is that, which the prophet Joel spoke about. He is literally saying that hundreds of years prior, the prophecy of God the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Spirit of God, Pentecost, prophesied, designed, set up by God, and in God's perfect timetable, the power of the Holy Spirit was sent in a dramatic and demonstrative way. The believer, there was 2 million people in the area at the time, and the believers alone, though, were clothed and filled with the Spirit of God. Now, there were signs and wonders that occurred. And it drew all these people over. And Peter begins to tell them that this is that. This is the fulfillment. And so we see this incredible fulfillment. Just as there were prophecies of Jesus and his coming to the world. Amazing, up to 300 out of the Old Testament. And so also God had given predictive insight, prophecy, that would speak about a day in which there would be a pouring out. Every believer since that day, now listen, we are called to be filled with the Spirit, clothed with the Spirit and power, and we're to be Spirit-filled believers. Now you could do a greater study this week through the book of Acts. Circle every time you find Spirit-filled believers and what they were doing. More than anything else, more than signs, wonders, giftings, which were various along the way, the common denominator of all believers is that they were just lit up with the living Christ. He was in them, with them, alive, operative around them. The power was evident. The power of the Holy Spirit was evident by others around. They could see. Look what the rest of the book of Acts will say. Stephen, a man filled with the Holy Spirit. Philip, you know, and Paul and Barnabas, Spirit-filled We're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled people were seeable. And in many cases, feelable, observable. And what they were doing was God's will, God's agenda. The Spirit of God's power was given primarily to accomplish the mission. What's the mission? Reach the world for Christ. The pinnacle of God's power, and there is nothing higher, was poured out to be given to believers to win the world. If you as a believer involved and yielded to that mission of God, then you can fully expect the full clothing, power, and work experientially of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Spirit, the guidance of the Spirit, the enablement of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit to make you more and more powerful. As a matter of fact, Acts 9, when Saul gets saved, then he gets filled with the Spirit, then he begins to do the mission, it says in verse 22 that he grew more and more powerful. Now, the reason I'm going long into this is because I believe there's a counterfeit now to this. Now that we've looked through all the stuff, and as we've seen counterfeit prophecy on the demonic, satanic side, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, we see everything. Counterfeit doctrine, writings, inspired writings that are meant to guide people. As there is also counterfeit spiritual power. But the power of the demonic presence never leads a person to Christ or to accomplish God's will. Please understand, just as God the Holy Spirit, clothing-filled believer, is on fire, radiating the presence and power of the Spirit of God, they will be focusing on Jesus, the Word, the mission, and they will be just out there in growing, bold, powerful obedience. The opposite is also true in this sense, that when individuals that allow the demonic to come in and fill them, and it's one thing for the demonic to just deceive them or lead them to kill or lead them to harm or lead them to do animal or human sacrifice. But the agenda that has been growing is now closer than ever to the, well, great chaos, rise of Antichrist, rise of the false prophet, rise of a supernaturally induced, empowered regime that will bring the globalism that everybody's talking about. There is no globalism without dark spirit presence power building it and moving it along the way. So, as we've said, and as I'm going to say now, there is a counterfeit, inverted, if you would, satanic Pentecost. And I'm going to say primarily it's the other side that speaks about this. It's the undergrounders we've dealt with and talk about. And these individuals where we did battle, where we did exorcism, where we engaged demons, powerful demons. Some of the individuals that wanted their demons, wanted to stay in the Luciferic cause, they were not ultimately delivered. There are those that have left our offices and stayed committed to the coming chaos, the goal of bringing everything down only to bring in someone else. They understand the mission. If anybody's been working with individuals of satanic ritual abuse, which they are now in the millions worldwide, primarily Europe and the United States, but now clearly in Russia. By the millions they've been found. By the millions you can track back when it began. And those thousands of workers have learned through late 80s and all of the 90s and up to now, 2010, that not only have they been traumatically split into separate personalities, but they've been programmed for a Luciferic cause with demonization to help accomplish the events. They believe by the thousands and thousands and thousands of them that they are or were created to be the troops of Antichrist. They have the powers of the dark spirits inside of them. They have ancient languages they use in summoning the demons. They can draw the ritual. They know what it is to conjure and summon demons, receive them and send them and transfer them and then release them into the air around. They have heard from the demonic side and from their side. Their goal is closer than ever before. They are planning on a great chaos, a catastrophic event. They call it a Black Awakening. They believe that they are here to once, at some point in history, shortly, to be triggered. That means an activation, a call. Some see it as a technological thing. I would say that it's primarily a spiritual thing, just like Acts 16. The triggering there of leading world leaders and all the rest to Armageddon. We're talking influencing the whole world. It's a spiritual, demonic activation. And so I believe the rebellion prior to the apocalypse of Antichrist, this catastrophic hell on earth, will also have that kind of activation. Let me give you some points here tonight as we're looking at Session 9 in Dark Powers, Dark Rituals. Number one, there has been and is a spiritual buildup. Now, you can look at all the New Age movement from the 30s on, specifically the 60s on, the literature of the 60s, the rise of Satanism, the millions and millions and millions of Americans that have opened the doors to the other spirits. They're real. They're real experiences, real communications, real supernatural things. It's clear they're real. Even I had those real experiences into the 60s and beginning in the 70s. Until someone broke in, preached Christ, and the Spirit of God led me to renounce and walk away from the deceit, from the finite spirits, and turn to Christ and be filled with the Spirit of God. Since that day over 35 years ago, I've never needed to go back. You either have within you the indwelling Spirit of God because you believed on the living Christ. The power of God dwells in you. Or if you're a quester looking, maybe you're there, your spirit is dead to God. You don't know Him experientially, but you're vulnerable. And then thirdly, there be those that listen that have the spirits that even have sent them after us out of rituals where you've shed blood as if God doesn't know, as if God won't respond, as if there's not going to be payday someday. To the Luciferian, whether soldier, politically inclined, trained, well, whatever the background, whatever the job, whatever the... there in the hiddenness, let me tell you something. God knows you in totality and where you stand. And I think that you know that God has been encountering you to come out of it. Jesus Christ shed pure, sinless blood, died, rose from the dead, is coming again. And Revelation 19:20 is a prophecy of biblical proportion, like all, irrevocable, infallible, unstoppable, indefeatable, in reference to the ultimate destruction of Antichrist, the false prophet, the entire globalistic Luciferic regime. The end of fallen human history. The end of that radical evil. You take a look at it. It's prophesied. Done deal. Even in the mention of Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2, the mere mention of Antichrist in Scripture brings within it the same sentence, the man doomed to destruction. So in God unveiling radical evil and what it's all about and what will occur, yes, it's affecting billions and the death of billions ultimately. It's also revealed in Scripture at the same moment, the absolute coming destruction. and God's grace offered to a world to come out of it and receive Christ, the gift of indestructible immortality. So where do you stand? And if all you're doing is reconning what we're saying about dark rituals, we may not have, and I don't believe we do, or anybody else does, all the secret places where the rituals are being done and all that. I don't think we have all that, but I think we have some of it. And only when God opens up, like with Ezekiel, when God broke a supernatural hole into that ritualistic substructure. And that's why I'm saying to believers right now, when you go back and you think in this number one point we're dealing with is the spiritual buildup. Biblically predicted, there's this massive buildup of dark spiritual presence, dark doctrines, dark counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, and all of it for one reason. Whether you read Matthew 24, whether you read Timothy 4:1, whether you read there in 2 Thessalonians 2, or 1 John chapter 2 for that matter. There's one reason to deceive millions, billions. That's the goal of the dark side. That's what then you've got to understand. It burns my britches in the sense that like a child sexual predator, like a serial predator that's going after another kill, deception is used in such a horrific way, masquerading as friendship and help and light, but with one intent, to cut your throat and to send you to hell ultimately. And so don't take the passion that there should be among millions of believers in Christ against radical evil. Don't let that offend you. I hate radical evil and what it does. I hate the fact that we humans have opened the door to this very precedent of a lie to human elitism, human deity. If only we would shut God. We lost in that engagement by choice, though God gave us all that was necessary to preserve us totally. And in your life right now as a believer in Christ, spiritual warfare-wise, God's given you everything. Authority, his armor, the blood of Christ, the name of Christ, his very presence. He's given you everything to not only protect you, not just for survival, but to put you on the field as a on fire, bold believer in Christ that doesn't fear hell's breath, but cares more for the redemption of every human being that Jesus Christ gave his life for. The motivation of the believer filled with the Spirit of God, the cross, the love of God. The motivation of the other side, the ascendancy, the apocalypse of the Antichrist. The motivation of the other side, ultimately their motivation is Armageddon. More than anything else in the satanic agenda, if you did not know this, is ultimately Armageddon. So for those multiples, SRAers, the DIDers, for those subpersonalities that listen, those who understand the programming and all that you've been through as in hidden places and in dark, supernaturally laced secrecy, you've been forged to be used by God's providence, and in this session maybe to realize, and in the name of Jesus I pray that his presence and power and grace and might and miracle even strike you now, destroying the demons and opening your heart to the miracle of God in Christ in salvation. For those of you in Russia, for those of you in China, for those of you there in Alaska and Pretoria and all across America. For the thousands and thousands and thousands of you now downloading this particular message. May it be a valley of decision. If you need to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, there is power, God's love. There's no one that loves you more, no one that wants you more. If you're a believer, it's not survival mode, though we can have our defenses set up. It is, if you're obedient to Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, those who love me, obey me. God said he gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. If you've given your life to Jesus and you've opened yourself up and will even cry out, Lord, clothe me with the power of the Holy Spirit, just like in the book of Acts, just like all those believers, so that I can be a witness, so that I can do your mission. Well, you'll have the expressed power, and you'll find out the best example, I still think, is Philip in Acts 8, as he's filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit. That's the evidence of the dunamis. Opposite that, Satanists, Luciferians, chosen ones, undergrounders, are advanced and doing the will of Satan by sheer demonic power. That's the whole thing with satanic ritual abuse. Split them, program, and then on top of that, put in the demonic empowerments. It's all about controlling minds and souls for use. Even with the programming, they need the demonization. So for millions and millions of victims, they have seen the rituals again and again and again, hundreds and hundreds of times over individually. Believers, knowing the Word of God, Ezekiel 8, a hidden serpent-worshipping satanic coven that would involve human sacrifice, the summoning of powers, it was there in the city of God. Even the prophet, the great prophet Ezekiel, he did not know what was there. It took the hand of God to move him. Because again, it operates, darkness operates in spiritual darkness with real power that brings a shielding to their operations. That's what's occurring right now. That's what's occurred in the last 40, 50 years. Massive operative work, but shielded by that power. You go back to 2 Kings 21:22. The same thing. The idea that once the ritual, the doors open, well, that became eventually is similar to the Mayan culture. You go read 2 Kings 21:22. You think in terms of the human sacrifice and what God's report was, that even in his own place where the temple was supposed to be, unchecked, unstopped, darkness will operate, manifest, consume. God said of the city that innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other, that it is so horrific, so detestable, so absolutely. Even Manasseh killed his own son in offering to a demon god. The doors, my friend, have been opened broader and wider than all of Old Testament history. We are now on a worldwide scale in the major countries of the satanic need, the operating need, where the agenda will be unleashed is where you're going to find the massive numbers of ritually abused rituals going on and the rise, the building up, the swelling up of these dark powers. There's many places in the United States and other nations, Canada, all across Europe for sure, more than any place else, Europe, but also in Russia, like Bohemian Grove, rituals being done. The goal at Bohemian Grove, influence world leaders, economic leaders, military leaders, media mogul leaders. The powers raised there in the ritual at Bohemian Grove there in California, was meant to release the spirit, similar to Revelation 16, on U.S. presidents, leaders, military men and women, let alone world elite. How do you think the world elite ever got there? Who do you think orchestrated this? And behind all of it is the constant unleashing of ritual, and summoning of spirits and targeting political leaders, they target the infiltration of U.S. military. I'm telling you now that NASA and CIA and DOD and DARPA, everywhere there is any level of military weaponization, development, behind the scenes is the targeting. Just like the targeting of churches across America where, again, satanic, ritually abused, chosen ones with sub-personalities that know how to do rituals, satanic warfare. Well, they've been sent into churches all over the place. We've got 2 hours of this on the web of the training. We've been involved and seen, and some that I've spoken on this subject before about have written and said it happened at our church, and there's indicators that we give, but infiltration that involves constant ritual work, summoning spirits, unleashing them, or even placing them on objects, targeting pastors and leaders. The warfare, covert warfare, has been going on into the churches for over 30-some years. So believers, heads up, become all that you can in Christ on a cutting-edge scale. You're going to need to. The powers of darkness are considered in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, a secret power of lawlessness. You'll notice the phrase, already at work. The word work, used a couple of times there, used in Ephesians chapter 1, in reference to Satan, is a word biblically, in the biblical context, meaning a supernatural operative power. That word is used in Philippians where it's talking about God is at work in the believer. He's at work, supernaturally operative in you. But we have Satan supernaturally operative. Ephesians chapter 2, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who's now supernaturally operative in the lost world. We have this clearly in 2 Thessalonians 2, a secret power of lawlessness operative. Dark in the night, covered, laced in satanic secrecy. Malachi Martin has talked about coordinated rituals that were done for the birth of or declaration of the Antichrist. I don't know if all that's completely true, but it's absolutely in line with the development of rituals. Let me say it this way. There are many kinds of rituals that involve the summoning of demons. Primarily, number one, to receive the demons for more power. Number two, to summon the demons and place them in the others that are being built up for these end time issues. Number three, demons summoned to be cloaking and packing the covens per se, shielding them. There are rituals to help the quote invisibility to shield them from detection and to keep people away. That's why you really can't investigate without having the authority of Christ in prayer. And you cannot really, well, Ezekiel 8 is clear. Nobody knew. Nobody cracked in. Nobody found. But by the hand of God, and I believe it is his will, he wanted it dealt with. He wanted it exposed. He wanted the believers to know about it. And God did something. And so in some of the other sessions, we talk about locations and finding and what. So you may have to get the other sessions to take a look to see what you're going to do. But I can guarantee you, if there's one satanic, richly abused person in your city, whether in Europe, Russia, or the United States, or Canada, or Australia, wherever, one satanic, richly abused person that was raised in your city, it means there's probably 30, 40 more, depending on the size of your city, could be 2,000. Which means that there is a vast coven operating over 50 years, which means thousands and thousands and thousands of rituals have been done in your city. You feel the darkness in your city. You sense behind the sense, behind the feeling, behind that dark presence, oppression, right behind that curtain, are the actual entities emanating that darkness. the biblical reality is that there would be a evolutionary development manifestation of dark powers, that they would continue to unleash counterfeit miracle signs, wonders, doctrines, people, and so forth, so that it builds and builds and builds and builds and builds. Kind of the frog in the kettle approach, until not only can you see it in the movements and cults and all the different counterfeit that is around and deception spiritually and the events, but it's biblically revealed that really the event, it's an event, not an evolution, that occurs next. And that is, let me give you this picture. You're blowing up a balloon. You're blowing it up, blowing it up, blowing it up till it's really tight, really bulging, almost to the point of breaking. You know, you're blowing it up. You take it out of your mouth and you pinch it off. You hold it with your fingers. What happens when you take your fingers off? Everything inside there comes bursting out. That is the great revolt. That is the red horse of Revelation 6. The concept that the swelling of the dark powers, please understand that in rituals that we've engaged in individuals and the materials and the discussions for years and years, and more so lately, involves the idea that they're not only raising the demons to receive them, give them to others, cloak themselves, send them out in warfare against believers in Christ, and in trying to bring influence into cities politically and so forth. Listen, the real Luciferians, they know they need this power. Anybody that's involved in evangelism knows that they pray, churches pray, and pray for God's power for advancement. So they seek the spirits, send the spirits for the advancement of the satanic cause. They also will summon demons just to unleash them in the air. Greek word, Ephesians 2, eros. The immediate dense atmosphere. It's been called dirtying the air. Influencing the spiritual atmosphere over an area, a city, a region, a nation. It's like blowing that air into that balloon. It's the idea of unleashing and summoning the demons from that side of this through rituals that go on every single week. Big ones coming up tonight, tomorrow, and the next day. We have in this series how you can go after it, how you can stop some of it, how you can help rescue some of the victims. But just like that blown up balloon, the moment you take your fingers off, now let me mention two things. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the parousia of the Lord, that day will not occur, emphatic in the Greek, until two events, the rebellion and the apocalypse of the Antichrist. In that context, the rebellion and the unveiling or visible unveiling to the world of his, you know, global, you know, rule are satanic events. The parousia of the Lord will not occur. These things are going to occur. The first is the rebellion. Older translations, some called it the Great Revolt. It's a tied in. Biblical scripture interprets biblical in scripture. Go to Acts 21:21. Go to the Septuagint in the background of this. You're going to find out it involved a rebellious coup, an event. If you go back further in the use of this word, it's, you know, it is not referring to a slow, slip-sliding way of believers. There's other places that Scripture talks about that issue, but here it's about a bold event. It's a word used originally in Greek, among the Greek as a coup, a political and even military and religious regime change. So before the parousia of the Lord, that day of the Lord, that will not occur until this massive event, coup, satanically plotted, black awakening, revolt, chaos, anarchy. I have talked to the individuals. I have heard the demons screaming out of the mouths of people in front of officers. One phrase in one case I've said before, where the demon eyes'd subpersonality committed to the cause, the satanic cause, the chaos, screamed, "We are the legions that shall rule the earth." So there's no question on the darkest side of things, they are there among us by the millions. Many that are intact and ready. They think of it as a satanic Pentecost. Just as we as believers, there was a Pentecost that the power of God came down and unleashed the church in ministry. So they believe the Black Awakening or this great revolt or this great anarchy, the event of it, the pouring out of demonic presence in an event level, not just here and there, but an event culture-wide, multinational, that it will be like a satanic Pentecost. A burst, like the balloon that got broke. Say the balloon was filled with demonic power and then it gets broke. They all go, they literally are rushing out. That's the way they view it. And I think that we can look back at King, the Moabite king in 2 Kings 3. As a demon-worshipping king, as a demon-infested nation, they were fighting, you know, Israel. And they were losing. And he would just throw more men in the battle, and they were still losing. But then the king took his son, sacrificed him on the wall, and all of a sudden, a fierce, frenzied wrath or some presence came on the Moabite soldiers that just launched them, that just unleashed them to defeat Israel. The weaponization of dark powers. Listen, I've been in a room where a demon manifests right in a person and speaks and screams and mocks and cusses. I've been in a room where I felt the demonic presence just about to manifest. I've felt this. I wonder what it's like in a ritual when there's a conjuring of a demon. I wonder what it's like when hundreds of thousands are released at the same time. See, their mentality is to have it all built up. Many rituals going on. More rituals. Swell the area, swell the atmosphere. More demons until they break loose. Now that is Revelation 6. That is the red horse. In prophetic drama, God shows that all of a sudden an event bursts out in human history. It says that peace is taken instantly, immediately from the whole globe, the earth. Ultimately, there's a cause, like with the Moabite king and the soldiers, a cause. Humanity begins to just be out there in chaos like hell on earth, and they're slaughtering one another. And the Greek word used for killing one another is not a word used for warfare. That's used in other places in Revelation. But there, it's a word used of human or animal sacrifice and animal butchery. It's a word in which the concept of sacrifice is involved. There are millions of intact, satanically programmed, empowered sleepers waiting for release. There are covens. There is a regime. When you read Revelation 13, not only do we find out the Antichrist eventually rises, but a beast kingdom, multinational, developed as a shadow government, shadow military system. It's there, laced in power. Not one iota of this burst, this revolt, this red horse, though, can occur. Let me tell you why. The balloon, you pinch it off, you blow it up, and you pinch it off, you hold it. There's something stronger than hundreds of millions of demons swelling, waiting to burst into human society through the agency of those already possessed and those already ready to be unleashed. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2, God has a restrainer in place. God has restrained. What is he restraining? He's restraining the supernatural secret power of lawlessness from breaking out, which includes then the apocalypse of the Antichrist himself. It is the restrainer that God is pinching it off. God is holding it at bay, though it is swelling and there and ready. As I've said many times before, if we really are even 15 years away from this global catastrophic chaos and anarchy, if we're 2 years away, or even 15 years away, it means the Antichrist is already alive and out there. The false prophet is alive and out there. The regime that will ascend, Revelation 13, it's already out there. And bulging at the seams, and in my engagement with the undergrounders, they are bulging at the seams. They are licking their lips, sharpening their knives. They want unleashed. It is God and God alone at this moment in history that holds it back. The great chaos, this satanic burst of both power and individuals. I am convinced that rituals are going to be done forensically, more and more and more and more, more human sacrifice, just like the Mayans. The closer they came to the end, more and more and more and more and more bloodshed and more human sacrifice and the desire for more dark power and more dark leading and more of all the dark side. So the preemptive heads up that God gives us is clear. It's all there in the Word of God. It's also by taking the Word of God, researching and looking and seeing what's going on. Well, like on the day of Pentecost, when this event occurs, then I believe believers can scream out and say, this is that which it was spoken of in 2 Thessalonians 2. This is that which the red horse is all about in Revelation 6. Notice the red horse in Revelation 6. The dramatic event of multinational global the stealing, the sucking out of peace, and the unleashing of anarchy, chaos, catastrophic destruction, the slaughtering of humans, the butchering of humans. Who does all the butchering? Well, dark side says they do. Says that's what they're all about. So as we think in terms of all of what's happening right now, all it takes is God to remove his finger, his restrainer. What is he restraining? The swelling, bulging, prepared, ready regime, Antichrist, false prophet, and the plot of catastrophic chaos, anarchy, and collapse in your country. The world will be affected. In Revelation 6, the red horse involves the entire world. What follows after is the scarcity. What follows after is up to a fourth of the earth, humanity dead. The beasts of the earth, what are they? So listen, it all begins with the white horse, which is the conquest of the spirit of Antichrist, of the prince of the power of the air, of the counterfeit. The conquest of the fallen cherub, which involves, you know, the spirit of Antichrist, the birth of Antichrist, the eventual apocalypse. But let me tell you something. According to Daniel, Antichrist is going to be operative many years in the political and behind the scenes sense before the apocalypse. I'm telling you now that it's they, the Antichrist, false prophet, the regime, with all of the powers that have been built up to this time and all of what they're doing today and these next couple of days in the summoning, reception, sending, releasing, the swelling of the satanic balloon, building, building, building. If you're a believer in Christ, then understanding this, you ramp up your walk in Christ in every single way, and you do the mission of God, come hell or high water. If you're embraced by the darkness in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, may it be broken over you now, and may you come out, and may God's presence and power, the Spirit of God, draw you out. May those of you who are looking, questing, what do you have? Look at the cross. What happened at that cross where Christ died? There is where the door to direct fellowship with God, finding God, knowing God, being able to walk with God, have the joy of His presence and power. That's what it's all about. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of this hour. And in society now, all I can tell you is the picture I have is the swelling of dark presence, dark powers. The preparation. Well, the day will come, the activation will occur, but it's going to be a dark spiritual manifestation. It will lead eventually to the rise, apocalypse of Antichrist and globalism. I pray that you're prepared. Whatever comes, and at this present moment that you know the living Christ, God's blessing to you. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net.